Yes, indeed. It's a lovely topic, isn't it? A very cleansing topic, some might say.
Well, I would have thought that there would be, you know, only joyous things to talk about when it comes to soap, but apparently not.
No. There's you would have noticed in the supermarkets and on TV over the last couple of years, there's been pushed towards antibacterial soaps. Now, that's given rise to what I call the panicked parent syndrome and the ultra-clean person that thinks they have to have absolutely everything dead in their household. And it turns out the other thing that's going to be dead in their household is them. Because it has this
thing called... What?
Yes, well, it has... These antibacterial soaps, by and large, contain a product called triclosan. And the audience can go and have a look at what triclosan does, but the FDA in the United States have just discovered through some research that it increases antibiotic resistance and affects hormone regulation inside the human body. And that spells not good.
Antibacterial soap alters hormone regulation in the body and it affects the way we process antibiotics. It increases our resistance to antibiotics.
Absolutely. So here we are thinking we're getting ourselves clean, and what we're actually cleansing ourselves of is our human's ability to stay human.
Are we cleansing ourselves of good germs?
Absolutely. And you know, that's the interesting thing about the ultra-clean households and what this mythology preys on. It kills 99.9% of all bacteria and all that sort of stuff. Well, most of those germs don't harm us at all. In fact, inside our gut, there's a number of germs that help us process foods. And when we start killing those things, the normal germs from around us, you actually start creating an environment in which people become sick because they can't develop resistance to low-grade germs, which means the big ones get them hard.
So we go back to that idea of it's okay to make a mud cake when you're little or to eat dirt when you're little because it'll actually increase your immunity.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, let your kids eat dirt and you'll be much happier. And interestingly enough, as a side element, they've also discovered that houses that have a high level of antibacterial use in the household, particularly on young kids, increases the amount of eczema and some of the skin issues for those kids in that household. So they've got that. There's tentative links towards it also increasing asthma. So what we're doing, instead of cleansing ourselves, we're actually creating environments that's less useful for us and more harmful for us.
Can I just go back to asking you about the antibacterial soap and the research that's been done in the United States? How sound is that research? How sound is the research which says that antibacterial soap, it alters hormone regulation and it increases your resistance to antibiotics?
Well, the FDA, who basically administer whether or not a drug gets approved and certain consumer products get used in the United States, and it has significant influence on what we approve here in Australia as well, have come out and basically said, their main problem is bacterial resistance and endocrine disruption. And that basically means this is a product that's likely to be poisonous to the long-term health of the human, to the point where clients such as Johnson & Johnson and Kaiser Permanente, who is a big hospital group, Kaiser Permanente have stopped using any of those products in all of their hospitals, and Johnson & Johnson said all of their products will be triclosan free by about 2015. So that's a pretty significant step forward for this type of product.
I want you to spell triclosan so we can Google it if we want to.
So it's triclosan.
Triclosan. Okay.
Yeah, triclosan. And so it's something that people should go and have a look at themselves and consider whether or not those sorts of products or the antibacterial soaps that they've been encouraged to buy contain that product and whether they think it's serious enough for them to take the sort of action that might take it out of the household. But, you know, it's a consumer choice at this stage, but at some point it's likely that product, any products containing that particular element, won't be on our shelves at some point in the future.
How did it get passed by the FDA in the first place?
Well, like all things to do with consumer products, they go through a series of research. They show themselves to be reasonably good, and at that point in time, a good idea becomes a product. Now, over time, we get more research. We start to understand a little bit things, how these things have an impact on us, and all of a sudden, the research has been flipped on its head to say, you know what? What we thought was a good idea is no longer a good idea. We think we need to pull the plug on this product.
So, you know, if somebody gets home tonight and they realise that they have, I'm particularly thinking about the liquid soaps.
Yes.
Those liquid soaps often have antibacterial on the front of them. If someone gets home tonight and they realise that, you know, in their downstairs bathroom and in their upstairs bathroom they have that antibacterial soap, should they throw it out straight away or?
Look, Each consumer has to make their own choice. My recommendation is there a product idea that's actually selling a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. And it's my personal belief. From a futures point of view, however, I can link it to the fact that it's actually now having an implication on the way your body functions. And if I was going to do a risk assessment and say, you know what, that would bother me, then I would be throwing the product out.
Because from a futures point of view, if it affects the way your hormones are in your body or if it affects the way you react to medicinal drugs, that could be an issue into the future, into your own personal future.
Absolutely, Vic. It's a huge area of concern. Now, one of the other things that the research is showing is an area of decreased testosterone levels and less sperm production. Now, you know, if you think about the fact that you might be using this particular product for 6 or 7 years, if you're a young male, for instance, and you're wanting to have a family, and you're using a product that might be shown, and it looks like it's been shown to reduce your sperm production, that's not really a good choice, is it? So at that point in time, you have to say, you know what, I want a family. This has a fair risk from a futures element for me. I think it's worthwhile not using this particular product.
Could be considered a male form of contraception, though.
Can you trust the boys to wash their hands, Vicky?
No, you can't, actually. Thank you, Marcus.
No, thank you. Bye.